pretty good crowd here today, so we're glad to see everybody. And we're going to have a very simple lesson today, and it's one that we need to be aware of. And of course, we'll recognize these truths as we read about them. But the title of the lesson is called Believing the Lie. And you might recognize this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And what it gets down to is the truth does not matter to most people. They don't like that. So people will believe what they want to believe, and it doesn't matter if it's the truth or not. They're going to believe what they want to believe. Or with a lot of people, they believe what someone tells them to believe. And so we need to get to that point where we believe because we've convinced ourselves that it is the truth. But a lot of people are not that way. And so watching social media over many years, we learned that people do not care if something is truth or not. As long as it fits what they want to believe, they do not question it or examine if it is true or not. And that is one of the problems with social media. And the sad fact is that you cannot reason with such a person if their mind is already made up. And we find that's a very true statement. If their mind is made up, you can't reason with them. No matter how much truth you want to show them, no matter how much Bible you want to show them, if their mind is made up, they don't want to change. And so, it is with spiritual matters as well. You know, you can take them to the Bible and show them in black and white, even in the red. But they will not believe the truth, but take pleasure in the lies. And so there's a few reasons that this is the case. And so in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12, that's our text, it says, "And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." So that's basically those who want to believe the lie, God puts them in the category of practicing wickedness. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, we have the passage that reads, "For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." And so that's also very true. And we see that's taking place in many churches today, many congregations where the preachers are giving in and giving the people what they want to hear. And really, the people could care less if the preacher is lying or not, as long as he makes them feel good. And that's what they want. They want to feel good. And they don't like someone stepping on their toes and telling them, "You need to toe the line. You need to do what God wants you to do." They expect someone to tell them, "Oh, you're okay. Don't worry about it. So what if you practice this sin or that sin? God still loves you. He cares about you." That's what people want to hear. I mean, the things that they need to hear, they don't want to hear. And so, that's why some preachers are not very popular, because they speak the truth where it needs to be spoken. So these people do not learn the example of the noble Bereans. Remember that from Acts 17:11. "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Here's another thing. A lot of people, they just take what the preacher says and let it go at that. They don't go to the Bible and confirm what has been spoken. They don't sit there and, "Does this agree with the Bible?" They rarely ever do that. Well, the preacher, he studied a long time. He must know what he's talking about. And they just let it go at that. And I remember one conversation I had, a lady was telling me, "Well, if the preacher wants to tell lies, that's his business." I mean, so that's just as wrong as it can be, but that's what they do. And so when people want to believe the lie rather than the truth, there's no amount of reasoning from the scriptures that will convince them to change their minds. It's like talking to someone who believes in faith only, that says baptism is not essential to salvation. You can quote scripture after scripture after scripture with them, and they're most likely not going to change their minds. Now, it has happened. I mean, when you keep throwing the Bible at people, they're eventually going to have to come to that and face that reality. Well, this is what God said, unless they can discount the Bible as being authorized by God. And that's what they've turned into these days. Used to be a lot of times when a preacher from the Church of Christ would debate someone from the Baptist church or Methodist church or some other church, he'd just start throwing scripture out there, and scripture convinced people, and they accepted that. Now they don't accept the scriptures anymore. They just think it's just some sort of love letter, and that's what they're told, and there's no authority in the words of the Bible. And that's what they've convinced themselves. And so they get to that point where there's very little reasoning from the scriptures that will convince anyone to change their minds. And so if you try to reason with them, they always have a comeback. They always chase some rabbit down a hole, then they expect you to follow, and then they'll just leave you stranded in that hole they have created. I mean, that's what it's like sometimes. And, of course, some of them seem to have perfected their arguments, or so they think. Ephesians 4:25, we read, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." I mean, the point of this passage is, speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Don't be telling lies. I mean, and it's so easy. I mean, the truth can become a lie real quickly when you just start changing some of the facts. You start embellishing the facts. It's like some people, you know, they tell a story and it's a cute story. Then you happen to overhear their conversation with someone else. They're telling the same story, and all of a sudden it starts getting better. And every time they tell the story, it keeps getting better and better and better. And all of a sudden, wait a minute. That's not what he told me all those years ago. And so, I mean, we know people do that. And so, I mean, enhancing the story doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth anymore. And the sad thing to consider is that if someone has decided to believe a lie, the truth does not matter to them. Like those in the denominations, they have been shown the truth, and rarely do they respond to that. I know in times past, in the first part of last century, 100 years ago, preachers were going around, they were debating the Baptists, and sometimes they would convert a whole congregation of Baptists, and they would leave the Baptist church and become members of the body of Christ. I mean, because the evidence was presented to them. Here's what the Bible says. And don't take what's in your manual, but do what the Bible says. And that convinced people. And people really wanted, they clamored for Bible teaching so many years ago. And yet people, it doesn't seem people want Bible teaching anymore. Like I say, they want some preacher to tell them that they're okay. And they don't have to worry. They don't have to change their life very much. You can continue in your worldliness and still be reassured that you can go to heaven. I mean, that's what they want to hear. So you would think, why would anyone want to believe a lie? Well, when you believe the lie, I mean, the harsh reality of the truth is kind of diminished. It's taken away. The answer is very simple. They just do not love the truth. I mean, if they loved the truth, they would search for the truth, they would practice the truth, they would seek the truth. But the honest answer is they do not love the truth. They want to believe what they want to believe, and the truth doesn't give them what they want to believe. So that's the problem they were faced with. See, there's a multitude of reasons for people not to not want to endure the truth of God's word. Oh, it's a little harsh, they might say. Or I can't have any fun if I do this the way God wants me to do it. And it might convict my grandparents and my parents into hell if I decided to believe this. I mean, it's all rooted in selfish desires. That's where it comes from. Selfish desires take over and rule. And for most people, their lie becomes reality, and eventually they will strongly believe it. I mean, that's because God allows them to believe the lie. If they don't love the truth, sure, go ahead. Believe what you want to believe. I mean, you'll pay for it in the end, and God warns them that. But that's what they want to do. And so it's like following the old mantra that if you tell a lie often enough, people will come to believe it. And we've seen that recently in recent years in social media. Someone starts promoting the idea, well, they did this, and turns out they never did it. But that fits the narrative, so that's what we're going to believe. And so many falsehoods are taking place like that. And teachers who promote these lies will eventually have a following to their way of thinking. And that's right, because the teachers know what the people want and are going to give it to them. Doesn't matter if they deprive them of what is necessary for salvation, as long as they have a following, as long as they have people contributing so that they can get paid, I mean, that's what it comes down to. And once again, that's the idea of selfishness. Selfishness taking over. So we all have seen how those who speak the truth are treated by those who do not follow the truth. I mean, all sorts of accusations are made. You're just mean-spirited. You don't have a love for souls or anything like that. And they do that. And a lot of times it's usually with hateful language, or they seem incredulous that you would challenge their belief. I was dealing with a person years ago. I mean, he was part of the ministerial alliance of his town, and he would exchange pulpits with the preachers from the Baptist church, the Methodist church, and they would all just go around preaching whatever they wanted to. And basically, the only way to get by with doing that is to not speak the truth. And that's what they did. He didn't speak the truth there. I said, you have an opportunity to lay the truth down on these people, and you don't do it. And shame on you for doing that. But then they just seem very incredulous, and sometimes they speak to those who would speak the truth with hateful speech. You're so mean, you're mean-spirited, and God's going to make you burn in hell for that. I mean, that's the type of language they do. All we're trying to do is present the truth and show what God's word actually says. And they start charging us to a point where they condemn us. And that's not their place to do. See, these people also seem to act with a type of moral superiority. Then that their way is much better and yours is just foolishness. Well, what did Paul tell the Corinthians about the ways of this world are foolishness? And of course, the ways of God seem foolish to the people. I mean, so it does that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I mean, so the foolishness of God is wiser than, I just drew a blank. Senior moment there. All right, but anyway, God is much better. Even God's worst thought is much better than man's greatest thought. So we know that. But they have this moral superior. Oh, we are more enlightened than you. And we've seen this over the years. People get this point, well, we don't need the Bible anymore. We're more enlightened about that. We have a closer connection to God than you do. You have to go through your Bible. We just have a direct access with God. And so that's what they're trying to promote. And they have this moral superiority. Anyone who starts telling people, well, that's not what the Bible says, well, you're to be condemned and burned because of your hatefulness. So they're basically, what they're saying is the Bible is hate speech, and you shouldn't be using the Bible. And you know what? In most denominations, they do not use the Bible. They might pick out a little story here and there. They might read about Noah's Ark. They might read about Samson and his deliverance from the Philistines and things like that. But they don't really get down into the details of the meat of the Word of God. See, there are those who believe that killing others is a righteous cause in their own minds. Yeah, we know that. Some cultures, they really believe that. They teach that. Oh, and they're predominant there in the Middle East, and they've done that a lot. Sometimes they've even shown videos to the world. This is what we think about those who don't follow our way of life, and they kill them. And they think that's righteous cause in their mind, and it's going to be good for them. You know, those who support abortion speak of it as a great gift to humanity, that a woman can murder her own child. And now all of a sudden, with the possibility that when the court presents itself, what are they doing now? They're putting up barricades. Why? Because the people that want to murder their own children are going to get violent. And we're going to see that in a few days when that happens, when they make their ruling. And which has already been leaked, but we're going to see that. Though they're going to be violent people. And they're claiming we're the violent ones because we want to protect our children. These people even parade around in the streets cheering the slaughter of millions. And they hurl insults with the vilest of language at those who want to respect human life. And we do this all the time. We see it on the news all the time. People are walking along peacefully saying, holding up signs, right to life. And people are getting up in their face and screaming vile obscenities at them. I mean, it's just not right. But that's what they do. But here, we need to talk about some problems that sometimes we face as Christians. And if we get involved in social media like Facebook or something like that, we have to have certain cautions that we need to be made aware of and make sure we're not guilty of these things. See, we see from social media that people forward stories they have received without checking out to see if it is true. They do that a lot. Someone says, you basically look at the headline. Many read the headline, oh, that's in my thinking, okay, I'm going to forward that without ever reading the article. And it turns out sometimes the article isn't anything near about what the headline says. And then sometimes you get in there and there's all sorts of language that should be deleted. That's years ago they came out with that expletive deletive. In other words, he used a foul language, and we're not going to publish that publicly. And so they just make assumptions by what they see at first and forward and share them without actually reading the stories and articles. And sometimes there's a meme posted up there that the first few words sound, oh, that sounds pretty good. I'll just forward that. And here's the problem. We need to offer a word of caution to everyone who participates in this form of communication. You think you're going to get people excited about this. We're going to notice Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." In Ephesians 5:4, we read, "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks." All right, these are commands that we're supposed to be paying attention to. Do we follow those rules when we're on Facebook? I mean, what you type that your friends see on the computer or other device is the same as if it comes out of your mouth. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. It's the same as if it's coming out of your mouth. And so that's something we have to be aware of. And another warning we find in Ephesians 5, 6, and 7 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." So we have to be very careful if we share something that we've seen on Facebook. We've got to check it out and make sure everything complies with what we really, truly believe. That means you just do not share or forward something that you have not examined yourself. We're supposed to examine things carefully, and we're supposed to cleave to that which is good. And if it's a good point that's being made, yeah, go ahead and forward it, because that's what we want to do. We want to send the good information out to people so they can hear it when it comes to what God's plan of salvation. Can you imagine reading something about God's plan of salvation that leaves out baptism? Would you want to share that with people? Well, why would you? Because it's not the truth. I mean, it's lacking the truth. And so you shouldn't want to forward something like that, or saying you have to pray to Mary in order to have salvation. You wouldn't want to forward that either. How many times have you read a statement on Facebook like this? I'm sorry that I forwarded the previous post. I did not notice there was some profanity in it. Yeah. I've seen that many times, and sometimes it's even coming from preachers. Preachers of the gospel have been preaching for many years. All of a sudden, they have to apologize because someone points out to them that, hey, there was some profanity in that. I mean, are you sure you want to present that? And so, yeah, that's true. I mean, why do they do that? So be cautious with any information that comes your way, because people will share what they want to believe, and the truth does not matter to them. You know, you just can't believe everything you read on the internet. Abraham Lincoln said that. You want to believe that? The internet wasn't even in existence back then, but you see it on Facebook all the time. I mean, that just tells you, you can't really believe everything you see on there. And there are some things you want to believe, but you better check it out first before you do. But for many people, truth does not matter to them. And so God speaks to this problem. He's told us how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And yes, sometimes I have to chastise some brethren and those who claim to be Christians for using such language or just passing it along. I said, that's really not appropriate for a Christian to be speaking that way. Sometimes they acknowledge it. Some people have basically unfriended me and said, mind your own business. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, that's what we have to deal with in our world today. And so Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:36. We're going to have a lesson next month on idle words and what they really are. Idle words, coarse jesting, talking falsehoods, and things like that. So think about those things. And don't let this happen to you. Yeah, some people enjoy getting on Facebook and communicating with people and looking at all the stuff that's going on. But you got to be really careful, because there's a lot of falsehood out there. I mean, we take advantage and we have the opportunity to share the gospel message with others. And yes, that's a good thing. It gives us an advantage to preach the gospel to many, even thousands of people, whereas where we got maybe 15, 16 here this morning, when I get on my lessons on Facebook, I can be potentially reaching several thousand. And so that's why we have to be very, we can appreciate the technology that's available to us. And putting on YouTube and things like that, putting the truth on there. But when you start putting lies on there, which a lot of people do, you got to be very careful not to promote anything that is a lie. And so, folks, we need to make sure we do that. So think about these things. It's easy to believe the lie. And we know that's true, because for most people, that's what they want to hear. It's easy to believe that. The hard truth sometimes is a hard pill to swallow, and some people don't like it because it kind of steps on their toes. So think about those things, and Lord willing, we'll be better people, and we'll be a better example. We will let our light shine, and we will share the good news with mankind. And we have that potential to do so. We just need to act that way and be careful not to do the ways of this world. So we're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel message and to obey the gospel, to maybe if you need to make confession, we'll pray for you. And anything else you might need, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.